Welcome to our services this morning. So glad you're able to be with us. We have a little thing in Helena called trains that run you late. And I was running late this morning, and those trains that we have in Helena are not always on a, well, they don't seem to always be on a set schedule, but I'm sure they are. But I want to do something this morning before we start our lesson. There's a couple of announcements that I wanted to make that I didn't have a chance to give to Josh, and I wrote them down, and I'm afraid Josh couldn't read my handwriting or nor interpret my shorthand. So I'm just want to make mention of some of these are already in the bulletin. You're aware of them, but just to remember, Lynn Franks will be entering Grandview Hospital today for surgery this coming Friday. Shirley Vines will have foot surgery tomorrow at St. Vincent's. John Bearden is having his Watchman heart procedure also on Monday. London Hill, one of our members, has now been diagnosed with COVID. And the one that was called in to me, Paul Bonasseri, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, but Paul is the police officer who's been guiding us in by traffic just about every Sunday. He was the one who began it, and he's the one who was in charge of it. He fell off of a horse this week and broke his arm, and an individual volunteered to carry him to the ER. And after the individual had carried him to the emergency room, some time later, they found out that that individual had COVID, and now Paul has COVID. And so I want you to remember him and all of those in your prayers this week. Forgiveness. Let's define the word. It carries with it, this little Greek word, a lot of different meanings. And the meanings are a lot of times determined by context. Some of those meanings are to let go of, to leave behind, to set aside. And you can understand why the word forgive would be involved in that. Among the number of definitions that are given in Greek dictionaries, when it comes to sins or debts, this little Greek word is translated as forgive, pardon, and cancel. This little word, so important to all of us, and sometimes so very much misunderstood by all of us. This is a word that I wanted us to look at today from the standpoint of four or five different scriptures. And the first of those scriptures is this one. When Jesus is talking to his apostles in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, this comes from our reading. And Jesus will say in verse 4, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." Now, holding on to the thought of that verse, and every word of it is true, I want you to compare it to this passage. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, and this is a passage where Jesus has been talking about our attitudes toward one another in the body of Christ, and how we're to deal with sin when it takes place in the body of Christ. But then Peter has a question, and he has a question regarding forgiveness. And that question is asked by Peter in verse 21, and he asks this. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times.'" And here is where, depending on the text that's being used and the translation being used, the NIV will say, "but 77 times." Most other translations will say 70 times seven times. In other words, what Jesus is using is a figurative language, and he's simply saying, how many times do you want to be forgiven? How many times do you want God to forgive you? How often do you want to be forgiven for the things that you do wrong? Now, I want you to think about these two responses, and I want you to notice a difference in them, and you probably already have. If your brother repents, Jesus said in Luke, forgive him. Here, nothing is said about his repentance. It may be implied, but how many times does my brother sin against me and I forgive them? Do I forgive him up to seven times in a day? And Jesus said, not seven, but 70 times seven, or 77 times, whenever he needs to be forgiven. Is repentance necessary before we forgive? Is their saying, I'm sorry, necessary before we forgive? Not necessarily. We're going to see that in a moment. We're going to take a look at a couple of passages that are going to show that to us. I think one of the things that's being done here by the two differences in these two scriptures is showing us two aspects of forgiveness. There is an aspect of forgiveness to where we forgive, even if they don't say they're sorry, even if they don't show any repentance. Why do we need to forgive in that situation and in that sense? Because of our own heart, because of our own well-being, because of our own desire to be like Christ and to be like God. And the idea of forgiveness here doesn't mean what a lot of times we might think with regard to forgiveness, but the idea of forgiveness here carries with it the idea of not allowing bitterness and anger and hatred to begin to rule in my heart toward any individual, but always allowing the Word of God to be what rules in my heart and to be what rules me in my relationship to others, instead of becoming bitter and angry in the way that so many times we have a tendency to do. But Jesus goes on from here in Matthew 18 and tells a story. And we're all familiar with the parable. The parable is of a man who is taking account of all of his servants, a king who's taking account of all of his servants. And he finds a servant who owes him a great deal of money, probably so much that he would never be able to repay it. And he calls that man in and has him to be thrown into prison until all of the debt is to be canceled. And the man begs for mercy, telling the king, I will repay you as soon as I can. The king, hearing what this man is saying, has compassion on him. And instead of giving him time to pay, he completely cancels the debt so that the man no longer owes him anything. He forgives him that debt. That man goes out and finds someone else who owes him a small amount of money. And the man grabs him by the throat and demands that he pay him in full. And the man begs for time and he will do it. But the man refuses to give him time and instead has him thrown into prison until he pays for all of the debt. The servants hear about it. They tell the king. The king calls the man that he had forgiven back in. When he calls him back in, it answers a question for us. Does me being forgiven always mean my salvation? No, it doesn't necessarily. And there's an example. Does me being forgiven mean everything I've done is forgotten? No, it doesn't. And this parable is an example. And Jesus is telling us with regard to this parable that even though this man was forgiven, he didn't have salvation. He didn't escape the punishment because of his conduct toward other people, because of his lack of forgiveness, which had been given to him toward others. And the fact he had been forgiven, and in this story, the king is God, And the fact that he had been forgiven does not mean it had been forgotten. It is still remembered. And now it's called back. And now the forgiveness is removed and it's called back. And so Jesus gives us warning. This is what God will do to each and every one of us if we do not forgive our brother from the heart. Does forgiveness mean I forget about it? No, it doesn't. We're going to look at that in just a second. Does forgiveness mean a number of things? But I'm jumping ahead, so let's go to these other two passages. I want to look at two prayers that are prayed. And those two prayers that are prayed are found, one by Jesus, one by Stephen. But I want us first to look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8 is the shorter version of an event that takes place that more than one gospel will give an account of. The shorter version in Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 1, talks about some men who have an individual that is paralyzed and he's lying on a mat and they bring him to Jesus. You remember the story. This is the time when they can't get into the house where Jesus is. So they go up on the roof and they separate the roof and lower the man down. And Jesus sees their faith and he looks at the man lying now in front of him on the mat. And he says to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." When he said that, those that were in attendance who were looking for things to accuse Jesus of said, "This man is blaspheming. He's blaspheming because no one can forgive sins except God alone. And this man is claiming to be God by declaring that he can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking. So Jesus says to them, "Why do you reason like this in your hearts? Which is easier to say to this man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? But so that you can know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins," he turned to the man and he said, "Get up and walk." And the man got up and walked, which was proof his sins had been forgiven. Now go from here to these two prayers. And the first one is Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34 is one of the sayings of Jesus on the cross. To get all of the sayings, you have to look at all of the accounts of the crucifixion. Luke records this one, Luke 23 and verse 34. When Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." A question: were they forgiven? The answer: no, they were not. How do I know that? Acts 2:23, Acts 4:10, Acts 5:30. Acts 2:23, the Apostle Peter is accusing those who took part in the crucifixion of Jesus by allowing him to be turned over to wicked men to crucify him as being guilty of sin. They haven't been forgiven. Chapter 4, verse 10, chapter 5, verse 30 are two occasions when the apostles are before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin, putting these apostles on trial, are now being accused by those apostles of having been the ones who crucified Jesus. They have not been forgiven. Why not? Doesn't Jesus have power on the earth to forgive sins? Yes, he does. Does he want their sins forgiven? He has that desire. He asks God to forgive their sins. But notice the language. The language here is completely different than it was in Matthew 9. In Matthew 9, Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's not what he says as he looks out over the multitude. As he looks out over the multitude, he speaks words out loud that can be heard by others. But it's a request made to God. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can you see the difference? I read for you a moment ago from Matthew 9. There is something Jesus saw in Matthew 9 that he's not seeing in Luke 23. Do you know what it is? It's called faith. In Matthew chapter 9, it says about Jesus, seeing their faith, he said to the man on the pallet, "Your sins are forgiven you." And he performs the miracle to prove that he has the power to forgive sins. What is he not seeing when he's on the cross? He's not seeing faith. He's seeing anger. He's seeing hatred. He's seeing individuals who are persuaded by evil men. He hears them crying out for his death. He hears them crying out for him to be destroyed. And he makes an appeal. And his appeal is to God. Do you know what Jesus knows? Jesus knows that no matter what's happening to him on that cross, and no matter what that mob is desiring to do to him, they will not harm him. They will not harm him because they will not separate him from God. They may destroy his body, but they will do him no harm. But they are doing themselves a great deal of harm unless they change their hearts and they change their minds. There's another prayer. That other prayer is in the book of Acts, chapter 7. And I want to start reading with chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen says some mighty strong things to his fellow Jews. He says some things to them about how they are fulfilling the very background of Israel from its beginning history. And this is what he says in verse 51, and it's the beginning of what angers them so much against him. "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him." Still not forgiven, because they still haven't come to repentance. "You who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it." Then from there, drop down to verse 59. It actually begins up at around 54 through 56 when the crowd begins to rush on him. And they begin to hate him and despise him. And then Stephen sees his vision of seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he announces what he's seeing. And they immediately rush on him and drag him outside and begin to throw rocks at him and begin to stone him until he's dead. And we come to verse 59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and he cried out. Did Paul hear it? Did the others pay attention? Could it be one of the pricks Paul couldn't let go of that he kept kicking against? Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Forgive them. They are not hurting Stephen. He's going to be with the Lord. They are only hurting themselves. God wants us to know that about those who do us wrong. God wants us to know that about those who show us hatred. They are not hurting us as long as we remain faithful to Christ, as long as we remain loyal to Him. They are only hurting themselves. Look at the difference in this and so many times the attitudes that we have. You ever heard somebody say or ever said yourself, "I don't forgive until they say they're sorry"? If they don't tell me they're sorry, there's no way I'm forgiving. That's not Stephen. That's not Jesus. And that's a heart that wants to hold on to anger and to hatred instead of letting it go. And that's the heart that God would have us to have. Does forgiveness means that I restore truth? Does forgiveness means I accept them back completely and totally and trust them completely from this point on? No, not at all. Trust is to be earned. Trust is to be something that an individual shows they're worthy of. And we would be foolish to trust someone who over and over is doing the same thing. Having a heart that wants them to forgive them, yes. Having a heart that wants them to come to God, yes. Having a heart that prays for them. Having a heart that wishes the best for them. Having a heart that would even do good for them, yes. But being cautious and being weary. The Bible will tell us in connection with Jesus, he entrusted himself to no man because he knew what was in every man. But he loved them. He wanted them forgiven. He wanted their hearts to come back to God. Forgiveness is a very multifaceted word describing multifaceted action. And it helps us to go through the Bible and allow it to define it for us and allow us in reading it to understand how God wants us to be. Forgiveness, it's ours in Jesus Christ, provided we strive to be like him. Provided we put off the old self and put on the new self. Provided we crucify ourselves and allow him to live in us. Because God is looking for the change, the conversion, the repentance that we will spend the rest of our life striving to achieve. And God wants to forgive. And he's made it possible in spite of our sins for us to be forgiven because Jesus has paid for them. And our forgiveness is in him. And we need to trust him and belong to him. If you've been baptized into Christ, are you in Christ? There may be some this morning who are ready to become a Christian. Maybe some here ready to come back to Christ. If you would like a prayer with one of our elders, they'd be happy to meet with you in their conference room. But if you desire to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.